At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to the latest United Way Stand podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Bet on Brazil, and you can visit betonbrazil.com for all the latest odds and offers. You'll realise why post-match, why I'm doing this little recording pre-match, but we've got only a handful of mags left to get rid of from this issue, so we're sort of hiding, really. We don't really want to go out because it looks a bit dark and it looks a bit gloomy. And so I'm stood here with one of the United Way Stand sellers. So this is me and Stu Eddy. So we thought, well, he came up with the idea, actually, of saying, should we do a bit of a preview and see how it stacks up. So I thought we'd kill a bit of airtime while we do it. So how are you, mate? All right?
Yeah, looking forward to tonight.
I notice everyone, even our boss has bailed out. He's claiming he's got homework to do or something.
Yeah, there's lawyers involved. I can't comment, really, to be honest.
The thing is, the problem with this podcast is not only are we like several men down, and it's not going to be to the usual sort of, you know, we're also not only minus a couple of sellers, but our friends from the Animal Kingdom aren't here either.
I was just about to say, with it being, what time is it now? It's about 5:30, and it's like I said, it's dark, and it's not good.
We could do with a bit of squirrel on squirrel action or something, just to liven it.
Yeah, well, I think the magpies are either tucked up in bed or tucked up in magpie prison after Sunday's debacle.
Do you know what? Right? I did, ahead of the, obviously we've got Liverpool at the weekend, but I did, as you know, often, whenever they, I'll go over and do their podcast. So I did the Anfield Rap last night. They're all good lads, so
and you're
always
here now.
It's always good to do, yeah. Well, this is the thing, right? So it goes over there, and I'm sat in up, you know, the Radio City Tower in Liverpool. So yeah, I'm sat in at the top of that, so you've got a brilliant view of the waterfront and the Wirral and everything like that. I'm in a proper warm air-conditioned studio, proper recording equipment, you know, properly, professionally done, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, Sunday I was stood in a car park in the freezing cold weather watching magpies shagging.
There's no comparison, is there? I'd rather have this any day.
No, absolutely. And they, you know, I've no idea why we didn't win Podcast of the Year and they did.
Don't want to look at the fucking Mersey anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, match tonight.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Obviously,
that's why we're here.
It is, yeah. Obviously, we've the two what you class as the two biggest guns left in the tournament have avoided each other in the draw, so it is sort of set up
for Southampton and Hull. Yeah,
it is sort of set up for the United Liverpool final. But
yeah,
you'd think that United out of the two games have probably got the easier draw. Liverpool's is a little bit more trappy, but you'd expect both to get through, wouldn't you?
Yes. Apart from obviously, yeah, they've just got their new manager. I forgot his name. He's Portuguese, isn't he? No, he knows Jose. First game in charge at weekend, beat Swansea 2-0. So they're on a high. I suppose I get what you've just said, but at the same time, they're on a bit of hiding to nothing, like they would have been anyway. But, you know, whole bottom of the league, absolutely nothing to play for, nothing, expected to probably get beat tonight. And, you know, they want to obviously take it to the second leg in 2 weeks and be within a shout of maybe causing an upset. But all things that you read points to a comfortable victory for United. Obviously, we stood here an hour and a half before any team news, but based on what Mourinho and Pogba's been saying and what I've been reading today on Twitter, we're going to win 5-1, I think.
But it's a fucking semi-final, isn't it? You know, nothing to be sniffed
and at. And I get why Jose's come out and said what he said, because, again, going back to his, certainly his first stint, am I right in saying his first stint at Chelsea, he won the League Cup? First season, and Matt obviously.
Trophy. I think it was his first trophy.
Yeah. So it sets you up nicely. Even if we don't go on and win, say, the Europa or the FA Cup or the league, obviously this year, it sets you up nicely for next year in his second season. So it's something. Yeah, absolutely. I want to get to the final, and you know, if it's Liverpool, even more so to win it.
It's a tournament that's been sort of slaughtered for years and years and years, but it's managed to stand the test of time, hasn't it? In just about and. you know, various low-level sponsors obviously yeah. made some changes to the format. But
there's no sponsor this year, is there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's had, you know, it's,
I find milk, that bizarre.
Rumbelows, yeah. you know, they've all come and gone, haven't they? But it's kind of almost stood the test of time. I mean, it's almost kind of found its own little niche in the calendar, whereas it seems to be like the FA Cup's the one now getting sort of more pelters than the League Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, you're right. And obviously there's four just about Premier League sides left in it this year, which I think that's happened quite often in the last three or four seasons, where there's been at least two or three, you know, of the top boys left in it towards the end.
We went through a phase of getting to like something like three or four finals out of 4 years and a couple of semi-finals as well. It's like, you know, United, for all the critique we've had about what we've supposedly done with cup competitions, and you know, United have in the recent sort of 10 or 12 years, last 10 or 12 years, have given the League Cup a fairly good shot, haven't they?
Yeah, we should have probably won it more than what we have done as well. But it's a competition where back in September you think, fucking hell, you hope that you're in the Champions League for starters, beginning of the season, new players come in, this season, new manager come in, but you think, oh God, League Cup, and everyone, whoever you draw, you think, oh shit, but before you know it, it's Christmas, and before you know it, you're in the quarter or semi-final, so why not win it then? So that's where we are now. We're middle of January. Get this wrapped up tonight, take almost a second string team potentially to Hull in 2 weeks' time, or certainly the fringe players, and then forget about it for 5 weeks until the end of January, end of February.
I think that's the tricky bit though, isn't it? Let's say United do get something on the board tonight and it's a decent lead, because you've then got that quandary of, do you go there and risk it being undone by sending half a team, or do you send your best team, get it won, and then get out of there, you know, get your best players off the pitch in at half time or something?
I think anything along the lines of 3 or 4 nil tonight, you can risk doing that. They're not going to score five without a reply, regardless who we play. We could play Fellaini in net in 2 weeks' time, and we'd still win probably. So yeah, it all depends on tonight. So ask me again come 10 o'clock.
Well, I will. Tell you what I think about tonight though is probably. For me, this isn't so much about winning a semi-final or the first leg of a semi-final. It's about maintaining, you know, we've been screaming to have a bit of momentum for probably the last three or four seasons. Yeah. And just when we've thought, you know what, we might be turning a corner here, yeah. it's come undone. This is probably the first 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 game run that we've been on where there's real momentum building. It's building almost game by game. I think tonight is important for that as much as it is about getting to a final.
Yeah, you're right. Totally agree. We've won 8 on the bounce, haven't we? So tonight would be 9, or if you don't lose, obviously we don't want to draw, but if that takes you into Sunday as well, so it's all good. And you know, over the, if we win tonight and then obviously carry that into Sunday and win that, before you know it, the league's looking rosier, and then you've got a couple of quite easier games to come, because obviously when I was looking at the fixture list for January, you know, mid-December, it looked quite tricky. But win tonight, take Liverpool, you know, 3 points. It's never going to be easy again against Liverpool, but he's going to have one eye, I think, on Liverpool tonight. He's got to, regarding team selection.
Well, Liverpool have got a day's less rest, yeah. and they've also got the slep down at Southampton,
yeah,
which puts us in a bit of an advantage, I think, for the weekend.
Yeah, and we've had a bit of a dodgy run, I think, haven't we, as well? You know, forget really weekend, because he did put out a really weak side, rightly or wrongly. To draw 0-0 to Plymouth isn't a great result. So again, it's all about momentum, like you said. I don't think they're scraping results, I think, at the moment, haven't they? Over Christmas, they got beat by Sunderland. So you're right, we're certainly, you know, better form-wise than what they are.
The two lads I spoke to last night, there's a general acceptance that Liverpool are getting results but aren't playing anywhere near to the level they were doing, and
yeah.
they also made reference in agreement to something I pointed out, which was that you can just sense that the manager's starting to get a bit rattled, which is something he hasn't shown too often. So you get the sense that, you know, this week's massive for Liverpool, and United are going into it. It's almost like role reversal from what happened sort of when we played them in October. We were going into that game a bit rattled, they were on the up. It's the other way around now, isn't it?
Yeah, is the honeymoon period finally over with Klopp? I don't know. It can't carry on forever, can it? And at the same, you know, what we just said about Mourinho first season, get a trophy in the cabinet, Klopp will be thinking exactly the same. If he can do that and finish top four, that's a successful season for his first season with a squad that probably isn't completely his, and he can go into the summer, can't he, as well? So it is a massive game, and yeah, but we've got an extra day's rest, I've heard somewhere Coutinho's back in training, or he was at weekend, so he could be back in the squad potentially tomorrow.
Well, it's him they've missed.
Yeah, absolutely. And he would be the difference, even if he isn't match fit, which obviously he won't be, if he, whether he plays or whether he makes a bench on Sunday. He's the one which I suppose scares me more than anybody. Hopefully I fuck off to Spain in the summer.
Well, yeah. He's not going to hang around if Liverpool don't. I think he's happy at Liverpool. He ain't going to hang around if they're not going to start winning and at the highest level, is he?
There's a rumour again. I think it's only come out today about Barcelona fancying him.
That makes sense. Yeah, he's good enough. Right, just I'll walk you through in terms of team tonight. Do you expect De Gea or Romero tonight?
De Gea, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And what do you expect the defence to look like?
I think it'll be probably the same as what it was last week, unfortunately, which means Blind at left back, which doesn't fill me with confidence. Yeah, you'd expect Rojo if he's fit. I've no idea.
Okay. Rest Carrick or play Carrick?
I would rest him only if Schweinsteiger's going to start. Because they're like for like. You start dicking around with putting Fellaini there or Herrera there or Pogba back there, and it spoils the flow of the team.
Okay, so do you play Pogba?
Yes.
And is this the night for Wayne Rooney to break that record, or do you think Ibrahimovic will start and he'll be on the bench again?
I think they could both play potentially, but obviously that means Pogba doesn't play in his normal position because that's where Rooney likes to play. But I'm going to go with Rooney starting, I think. And again, I've read something, he's played 7 times against Hull and never lost. So that in itself could be a reason to put him in the starting 11.
You could probably pluck any United player out and say, you know, we've played Hull this many times.
All
you
right.
know. Jemba Jemba's probably never lost against Hull or something like that. In terms of, do you think United will go out this tonight with a let's go out, try and blow them off the pitch, get a good three or four goal lead? And
well, again, I'm going to be pissed off if they don't, because all I've read on Twitter, certainly I've read something from, it's a quote from Pogba and Mourinho, and they've said we going to go out and kick shit out of Hull tonight, and we're going to be 4-0 up at half time. That's why I've read it anyway.
Well, that'll do, won't it?
yeah. So there's no reason. Yeah, Hull are absolute. I won't swear. Yeah. Shite, aren't we? Let's be honest. Bottom of the league, no confidence. We're on a roll. Even if we don't play our, what we consider to be our strongest starting 11, even if there's only 7 or 8 of us, it's strongest 11 playing. I would still expect us to win comfortably by, 2 or 3 goals.
Yeah. Quick prediction.
I'm going to say what I said against Middlesbrough, 5-1.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did that and then didn't show up, did you? Yeah, you couldn't have got out more. At least you got that one right. You'd have got a point in the prediction.
It should have been 5-1.
Yeah, it should have been, absolutely. Yeah. How many times have we said that this season?
Yeah.
I think Hull will get something tonight in terms of a goal, but I think I'll be disappointed if United don't take 2 goals at least as a lead to their place. So just one quick one, something that did happen since we last spoke. FA Cup draw, a bit disappointing it was at home, but
do we have to talk about that?
Well, yeah, because we've got listeners who expect us to talk about this sort of stuff. In the absence of Magpies, Squirrels and everything else, we're going to have to.
I actually forgot about the draw last night. A coach turned under Sevens team on a Monday night, so I got in from that absolutely drenched about 7:15, and my missus said, "We're going to home." I went, I looked at her, I went, "What?" And actually said, when I realised what she meant, I went, "Fuck off." And then I knew, before I'd even looked at the texts and tweets, I knew that obviously
it was a home tie.
The contingent, all our contingency would be very, very not happy about that.
I saw
particular
some
draw.
Of the funniest people on Twitter are Wigan fans. Everybody who's on Twitter and follows most of us lot will know who we mean. But I saw one of them yesterday tweeted, "We could be the first club ever to get 9,000 tickets and send 8,500 of them back."
I think I joked with Ant the other day, actually. We were talking about potential away games, and I said obviously allocation wise, the one that springs to mind, apart from maybe Blackburn, is Wigan, because you know you're going to get 7,000 or 8,000, and it was a bit ironic that we've got them but at Old Trafford. So I think £37 was taken out, make out about 7:45 last night, wasn't it?
Someone else also tweeted that Wigan's record at Old Trafford is played 8, won none, drawn none, goals for, one goals against, 28. So you'd expect United to get through that, wouldn't you?
Let's just hope that continues in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. So yeah, but again, yeah, the FA Cup. You know, so we're complaining. We all want, you know, somewhere we've not been before, and a good day on the beer. But you know, that's the fourth round, and again, before you know it, you know, you're in February, March, and you're in the quarterfinals. So it creeps up on you. And so yeah, already you were thinking. I'm studying now, thinking mid February we're in the fifth round because we should be against Wigan.
Yeah, totally agree. Right, mate, let's go and sell some mags, and we'll chat after the match.
Okay, mate.
United We Stand podcast is sponsored by Bet on Brazil. Yeah, listeners to this podcast can now get up to £60 matched when you open a new account. Just visit betonbrazil.com and enter the promo code United60. And once you've done that, your deposit will be matched up to the value of £60. It is post-match after the League Cup semi-final, where Manchester United have beat Hull City in the first leg by 2-0. Pretty much like the whole squad rotation thing, just like the game before. And there's just me and Stuart left. So Stuart's down to us. In fact, we've done all the selling tonight.
Yeah, we've done all right, haven't we?
Put a proper shift in.
Yeah, broke records, haven't we?
We have broke records. Yeah, record for history was made tonight.
It was.
I was just saying about the. It was a bit of a weird. Normally, when you get like any kind of League Cup crowd or FA Cup crowd, regardless of what round it is, you do tend to get a sizeable away turnout. It was quite odd seeing pretty much
2,000.
Yeah, is that what you'd put it at?
Yeah, it's about a third of that top stand.
Yeah, 2/3 of the upper of East. The East Stand was completely empty, and you could tell probably walking around the ground prior that there just wasn't a great presence, was there? Did you get mauled by any tigers?
I definitely didn't get mauled by any tigers. I saw one grown man in his 50s carrying a tiger. But to be fair, yeah, I was at top spot on some at Busby Way, and I think I saw about 5 Hull fans in total before the game, and 2 of them bought fanzines off me.
Very good. Do you ever remember the Mauled by the Tiger song? We played them a couple of seasons ago, and they were doing that song with the clawing action.
Well, they did.
One of the worst things I've ever seen in a
football
game.
Did they beat Arsenal? When did they beat Arsenal, like the Emirates? Was that this year?
And doing the growls and everything, weren't they?
I've read it somewhere, and it was on YouTube. I think it was actually named the campest song in football. And they're all there doing it, stroking each other.
It's a bit bizarre. Yeah, they.
We're never going to do it tonight, though.
There's obviously a lot of bad feeling at Hull in it, and it's pretty much started since Bruce left, and obviously they're pissed off with the owners and the whole culture thing there. They're protesting left, right, and centre. I noticed they only had, 6,500 at the FA Cup game in the weekend.
I mean,
I know Swansea didn't exactly help that by taking about 200, but it's not a club in a good place at the minute, is it?
As in Hull, that's not a good place now.
Well, not according to them, because did you hear what else they were fucking singing tonight?
They sang it twice, I think. That's all I did here.
We know what we are, city of culture. We know what we are. I mean,
well, that's when
it takes something to top being mauled by the Tigers, but I reckon that ran it close.
But when that's the only song you're singing, and there's not one football related song about one of your players, that tells a lot. Big story, really.
Yeah, that's one unhappy camp, that, isn't it?
Yeah, not great. And to be fair, 2,000 have travelled down here, probably expecting a mauling. But it's I certainly wasn't going to do it for them. But it leaves it open, doesn't it? But have you edited my 5-1 prediction before the game, by the way?
No.
Oh,
no.
Shit.
No, we'll leave it in just before. Leave it. Andy might afterwards. No, we'll leave it in.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what I said. I think I said 3-1, 2 clear goals, which is how it panned out. So I can have half a mark.
Give you that one.
Reasonably strong side, wasn't it? It was a side that certainly apart had Sunday in mind, didn't it?
Yeah, apart from left back. I despair with Damien, I really do.
He's actually a decent defender, but he can't do the going forward bit for me.
But did you see that? Was it about halfway through the first half? He took a throw in, or someone took a throw in, and Pogba like laid it back to him. And there wasn't a whole player within about 7 or 8 yards of him, I don't think. He was under no pressure. He just booted it out into an old stand. You can watch it any Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Fucking after someone who's had 15 pints the night before.
If he kicked it into the East Stand, it would have took him about an hour to get the ball back from there.
No, I despair when, you know, Luke Shaw, please sort your head out. Please get fucking fit and just come back, and, you know, it's your position. Or get Evra back. Like, you know, Evra's the obvious one for me. Get him back even for 6 months.
Oh, don't you start on that shite.
Yeah, I want him back. Yeah, left back.
Evra?
Yeah.
As what?
As left
stood
back.
There on the left back in his fucking panda suit doing.
If he wants to.
doing slow, sexy dances.
Yeah, why not?
Nah, he's not. Nah, not for me. Not for me. Yesterday's man, that one. I'd rather have a shit Damien than a great Evra. That's controversial.
we need to end this podcast right now.
No, he's had his day. Never works second time round, does it? You know what I mean? Anyway,
we're going to disagree.
Yeah, we will do. We will do. I thought it was a reasonably strong side. It was pretty much what we thought. No Ibrahimovic, no Carrick.
No Schweinsteiger.
But again, I mean, that I was know. The bizarre. It's almost like he's. It's almost like the manager's trying to fuck with his head a bit, isn't it?
I think
it's
he
like
is doing, yeah.
Bit of prick teasing.
If you can't play against fucking the worst team in the Premiership, who struggled to get a starting 11 out, and I believe a full bench. I'm not. Don't quote me on this, but I believe he only had six players on the bench tonight.
What do you mean, don't quote you? You've just told the whole fucking listening podcast of thousands of people. I've
wrong,
got no option not to quote.
But if it's wrong, it, don't come back to me.
You've just quoted yourself.
But what I'm saying is, yeah, an absolute fucking nailed on for someone like Schweinsteiger, who came on at the weekend for, 15 minutes. You knew Carrick wasn't going to play tonight, really, with Sunday in mind. So the obvious... I despair. Again, I'm a bit tired talking about it because he's obviously going to go in the summer. He's not going to play hardly any time between now and May, is he really?
He must have thought he was a shoo-in for a start tonight.
You'd think so, yeah. So he's sort of played a rarer there, hasn't he? Which, okay, he did okay, but you want him a bit further up the pitch, don't you, Herrera?
Yeah.
So it affected the old balance, and I'm a bit actually concerned. I'm getting a bit more concerned as the season goes on because, okay, we know Carrick's signed another year contract, has he? Is he here next season? I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah, it'll be one of them rolling
but,
one.
Yeah, but again, but even so, I'm getting a bit concerned that when Carrick's not in the fucking 11, how unbalanced we are. And that's exactly what happened tonight. It just like it affects it, again, it messes with everybody's heads.
He's still a player we can't replace, isn't he?
It looks that way, yeah. And even Valencia tonight, who's played, let's be honest, he's played right back and right wing pretty much all season, been bombing up and down that right touchline, and he's been probably more up front than he has in defence in most games. Yet tonight against the mighty Hull, he seemed to be pinned back. He wasn't as forward as what he has been in recent games, which was a bit strange.
First half, there was nothing that you'd class as massively clear cut in terms of chances from what I can remember.
No,
but there was a lot of opportunities. You know, Mkhitaryan certainly had what you class as three decent opportunities to test the goalie, didn't he? And he tested people six or seven rows back more than he did the keeper,
pretty much, and Herrera did as well. Yeah, I think from memory we had about seven or eight shots probably. You'd probably call them half chances, wouldn't you? Yeah. Again, a keeper, I'm pretty sure we didn't warm his gloves. They were comfortable saves, like you said, and the rest were in case stand, so nothing of significance first half to talk about, really.
The actual best chance came at all, the header that I think it was a header that came back.
He was offside though, wasn't he, as it happens?
Well, I'm not sure whether the header itself was offside or whether someone was offside in terms of dealing with the rebound.
Oh, right, possibly.
Not sure. I mean, he was right in front of me. I couldn't tell from what, but...
Well, to be fair, De Gea looked completely beat as well.
Oh, he was gone, yeah.
I'm not
sure
whether he thought it was going out for a goal kick or what.
Well, it was one of them where just everybody stops, including him.
Yeah.
Almost. And you know when that happens, it's almost like in their heads, it's a goal and it's gone in.
Well, it could have come back off. And like you said, if someone hadn't been offside, someone's got to tap him from 2 yards.
It was like someone had it pause and then it plays straight away. That's what happened.
No, it was a reminder of what can happen even against the shittest of sides, really.
Do you reckon United got... It was interesting because the crowd, I thought, rocked up here today, as did we, fully expecting United to turn them over quite handsomely. And it was almost like the crowd, even the United crowd, didn't get into it. There was a lot more chanting and singing in the second half, almost from the off. And it was almost like you got the sense that the crowd pulled the finger out in the second half, and it was pretty obvious that the manager had a word, didn't he?
Totally agree, yeah. I think the significance of realising that how poor really the first half was and who we're playing, that we need to win this game, you know, it's how important it is to you know, we said it before the match, didn't we, about getting to the final and hopefully winning it as a trophy, regardless of what you think of the competition. So I think you're right, the crowd realised at half time we're to get behind them, and the Mata goal certainly it was welcomed, although I thought that Hull were the better team after that for about 10 minutes.
I'd agree with that. Just prior to the Mata goal, there was a couple of chances. I mean, Rashford suddenly, who I thought had a real, almost an anomalous first half, sort of got a lot more into the game. But the big chance where we all thought that Rooney's, I mean, it was a great ball, I think it was from Pogba,
lashed it wide, didn't he?
I mean, that was a great shot, and I mean, he did everything right. Yeah, that was his moment, wasn't it?
It was, I think. The angle wasn't great, but you'd still expect Rooney to at least again test the keeper, and he's put it, I'm guessing, about a foot wide of the post.
But I thought the fact that he had a shot, I think the Rooney of the last season and a half, would have probably his first thing would have been to almost put his foot on it and see who was coming in. He'd have passed it. The fact that he was leathering it towards goal, I think, was a good sign. But
yeah, no, you're right. Confidence is back. Maybe the shackles are off. After, you know, this Bobby Charlton thing hanging around his neck for the last God knows how many months. So I think you're right. I think it'd be good to see him. You know, it was a decent shot. You know, he struck it really well, but obviously just past the far post.
Yeah, this Bobby Charlton thing where they've suddenly found two more goals that just to throw a bit more. He started to make goals up like Pelé.
There'll be some record somewhere.
Somebody told me tonight in the ground, because we were chatting about that, they reckon that there was a guy, they had a fake Pelé. He used to play in games for Santos. He used to come on and score goals as Pelé, but it wasn't him, and he counted them.
Probably true.
More conspiracy theory stuff, yeah. Obviously, the Mata goal, I mean, if you're the defender and you're getting beaten in the air by Mkhitaryan, and then, you know, somebody who's at Mata's height is first to a fairly... Well, I mean, it was a headable ball, wasn't it? I mean, that was poor defending.
It was, but a few balls slinged to the back post towards Mkhitaryan, to be fair, and I can't think what his name is there, number five. He had a decent game, actually. Him and Huddleston, as you'd expect, they won most balls, and this one, yeah,
it's a fucking unit, Huddleston.
they're both big centre-halves, and Mkhitaryan's not particularly big, is he? He's only 5'10", 11", I think. But yeah, he won the header somehow, and then I think their keeper was claiming offside, but I've not seen it back. But Mata just had a tap in, didn't he, at the back post?
Pretty much everybody, when that went in, where I was in the corner behind that goal where it went in, I'm obviously that side, as are you, everybody turned to see what that linesman was going to do. So there was a genuine anticipation that someone was going to flag for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think,
but he was level with it, so he had a good
shot. I would say so. Yeah.
Just a couple of things. I mean, the Rooney substitution really interested me. I thought, I mean, shows how dull it that ended up being the one thing that made me think of it. But obviously, you know, we all expected him to play in these two cup games. Obviously, he's got this record, which, you know, I know United want to help him on the way to that. I was surprised he got took off, because that, to me, suggests that he might have a bigger part to play on Sunday than maybe we've given him credit for. It was a 60-minute substitution, which is... It wasn't a performance thing, because at the time, Rashford definitely was probably a weaker of the forwards. For me, it wasn't a performance thing. It looked like... I need you in some capacity for the weekend.
I think, I can't think he'll start the game over Zlatan stood here right now. So he's on the bench. Maybe he's thinking, you know, the romance of it all. Who knows? He could come on last 20 minutes, score against Liverpool, and break the record once and for all. But it might not feature at all. It depends how the game's going, isn't it? You know, if we're winning 3-0, and he'll probably definitely come on. If we're drawing one each, he might come on. It all depends. But I'm pretty sure he won't start the game on Sunday.
Mkhitaryan was clearly another substitution that you thought
with Sunday in mind.
Sunday in mind,
yeah, definitely.
And then the compulsory substitution of Juan Mata.
Yeah,
continuing this record of of unbroken games of being substituted every single time he's played.
He was stood only about 20 yards in front of me at the Stretford End when just before the board went up, and I think he knew, and I actually shouted, "See you, one."
Well, it was interesting because Mourinho was giving him proper grief to get his arse off the pitch.
Yeah,
tore it up.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Clearly, yeah, that was good to see in a way, because he definitely wanted a second goal to get the substitutions on, and obviously in the end, although we've not seen it once again, Fellaini is inspired substitution.
I didn't see the Fellaini goal. I'd come out. We'd both gone out. Both come out. So obviously here we are commenting on the match without any. But I've seen it. I mean, it went in just as I'd come out. So I haven't seen the goal. So I don't know what it was like. But someone showed me a quick video, a replay of it in the ground.
All right. Yeah.
On the way out, and apparently he went over and was. He went straight to the manager for hugs and cuddles, which suggests that he's quite grateful for the support he's had, I would think.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that back. And again, when he was warming up, certainly the Upper Stretford End was singing Fellaini's name.
It's ironic now, isn't it?
Possibly.
No one means it.
Yeah, no. And obviously, that can't do him any harm at all, coming on and getting, you know, what could be quite a crucial goal, a second goal. But yeah, fair play to the manager. He's obviously tossed him on at the end, and he's gone and tossed him off.
He's this kind of player, isn't he? He's physical, he's strong, he's bullish.
Yeah.
You know, he takes a lot of Mourinho
boxes. Have we got any idea what the goal was like?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Sorry about that.
No. Yeah, we'll leave that to the... leave that to the panel on our sister station, whatever that looks like. What were your sort of general thoughts then, in terms of obviously 2-0, no goal conceded? That should be enough, shouldn't it?
It should. I was sat there thinking 1-0, about, you know, the likes of Sky are going to be loving this because it sets up a second leg, doesn't it?
I think Hull would have been reasonably all right at 1-0.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'd have fancied it, wouldn't they? And like I said, Sky and all the rest of it would have loved it because the game was still alive. 2-0 it still is, you never know. But again, we'll probably go there and win what we should have done tonight. You know, we'll go away with 6,000-7,000 United fans and, you know, a lot of football to be played between now and then. But yeah, I'd expect us to still go up there and win by 2 goals.
It's going to be hard, this, because man of the match, there wasn't anyone who you'd think, do you know what, that was a stellar game of football.
No.
And this person stood out. Who we're going to give our gong to?
Gong? Or yeah, dong? I was going to say Pogba, talking about gongs. Yeah, probably Pogba. Some decent passes.
It's time for him to take over fucking free kicks and let the Swede not take them now, isn't it?
Yes, although I must admit, the 20 seconds before he took the free kick, he had that shot which I think flew over your head into the Stretford end, and I was saying, I don't want fucking Pogba to take this.
What is it about grown men who still get incredibly giddy when a football comes near them in the ground? I mean, we're talking like
fighting
people
over
in the 40s
to touch it.
Well, it wasn't far behind me, which puts some perspective on how bad a shot it was. For it to get to where I was. But honestly, there was grown men almost falling over themselves, a couple of rows falling over themselves just to get a touch of a match ball. It's bizarre.
Don't get it.
No, not me. So we're giving it to Pogba then. I wouldn't disagree with that.
I think so, yeah. Like I said, it's nice.
But it was like, he's got the man of the match award with a 6.5, 7 out of 10 performance, hasn't it? Which puts that kind of game into the...
It was that type of game. It was a bitter game, wasn't it? But we made a lot of stupid fouls where it was clear that, you know, the whole players were looking for it. The referee had no option. And it just broke. The game just kept getting broken up. So... I think the most disappointing thing was the first goal, we didn't really crack on from there. Like I said, Hull, to be fair, had a really good 10 to 15 minute spell. They were keeping the ball, not doing much with it, but, you know, I thought we'd have really pressed on to get that second or third goal, and obviously it didn't arrive till the 90th minute, whatever it was.
Should be it. Stu, thanks for coming on.
Okay,
I think
we've
done well to get half an hour out of that.
Definitely,
yeah, I'm not sure the listeners will approve. They'll probably be sitting there saying, get the fucking magpies back. Cheers, mate.
See you Sunday.
That's it from us tonight. United have got, you'd think, 1 foot in the cup final. Go up to Hull and do a professional job, and that should be enough, despite it not being a great performance. But we'll take that. Obviously, matters now turn to the league game at the weekend. Not only have we got a massive game against our biggest rivals in some people's eyes at the weekend against Liverpool, we've obviously got the new edition of the mag out. Obviously the mag that we've had out for the last 4 games, massively well received issue for obvious reasons, with the interview and the manager, and we've had good sales and great feedback across all 4 days that we've had the game out. New mag out at the weekend, the lads will be selling probably from 3 hours before kickoff, so we'll be out around the ground as per usual. So all the usual good lads, as well as Bloomy, will be out. Within the new mag, we've got loads of good stuff. The second part of the manager's interview with Andy will be in there. Also, a couple of issues back, we did the interview with the stadium manager, Carl, and the second part of that will also be included. We've got Peter Hooton to give us his views in We'll Meet Again on Liverpool. We've got some great stuff on gambling, which I probably should pay attention to myself, and then all the usual articles and features from the regular contributors. It's a great issue. We're really delighted with the feedback that we're getting, not just from the mag but also on the podcast as well. A lot of time, a lot of effort goes into it, and we're delighted that people continue to buy it. Also, to bear in mind, the mag is out on the Sunday. It'll be in the shops from the middle of the week after. If you want a printed sub, then you order that by Thursday night, and that will include this issue. Cheers to everyone who supported us in the recent months. We work hard on it, and we really appreciate not just the existing readers but all the new readers who are picking it up and continuing to buy the fanzine as well. So great stuff. That's the lot from us. We're going to head off home now. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back at the weekend. Until then, cheers.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,